Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy. My wonderful guest today is Howard Gershman. I've been interviewed by him, which we're going to be talking about that show a little bit, and it will be coming out soon. It was really a delight to be on his network. But today we're going to be talking about something that's changed his life, Prime America. What is it? Well, he says, picture this, a regular middle-class guy, good job, nice family, he made some money, bought houses, sent his kids to college, a life that many people would aspire to. But his finances were a mess, and he didn't even know it. He relied on people he trusted to give him advice about what he should do with his money. When he got, what he got was insurance that was totally wrong for him. But instead of making money with investments, he lost thousands. I hear that. What's worse, these guys who he trusted and whom he thought were looking out for him earned huge commissions, but not him. That was Howard's past life, but not where he is today. Fortunately, through Prime America, he discovered the way finances are supposed to work, what he is supposed to do with his money. He switched everything around, and now he is in a much better place. With 19 years of experience, Howard shares that knowledge with others. As a result, he has helped over 300 clients all over the country, turned 13 clients with massive debts to be on track to 100,000 or a million in retirement accounts, set up 5 families to send their children to college without huge loans, and focusing on putting in place some programs and prevented unexpected disasters like death from turning into a financial ruin. In short, he disrupts the way people think about their finances, and he's eager to help you and the people to do the same. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, finance is always something that is, if you're a financial person, you get it. But if you're not, and you're just trying to juggle your money and make ends meet, and especially in a world today that is seems to be taking more money than giving, it is, there's a reason why people get gray and anxious very, very early in life. So, you know, you've been there, you know what it's like, right? You've doing all the right things, but then somebody comes up with a great deal. This will make you money. And you go, God, sounds good. Let's go and do it. And next thing you know, I've got a hole in my pocket.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Welcome to the show, Howard. So, yeah. Changing your life around it at any age is wonderful, but like I think it's even more poignant when you're doing it like midlife, because you really do understand the journey and the impact of changing your life around. And it's really important at that time. We get a lot of opportunities when we're young, we jump into them, but we don't always understand the significance of it. When you've been through the hard struggles on the roller coaster, and then you truly see an opportunity and you immerse yourself into it and you see the benefits, it's got a whole different bell to it, hasn't it?
It sure does. And it's when you, I think you had it sort of right there, when you've experienced the pain and figured it out, or figured out what not to do, right? Ooh. To do and what not to do. That's when it really sticks and it really makes sense.
Mm. Mm. Making sense of money. You know, we all laugh at that one. Everybody's trying to make sense out of money.
That's right.
But it's, as you said, when you get onto the right track, I think the biggest thing that everybody would love to have is not having to worry about money, whether there's enough, or, you know, are you making the right decision? Is it something that's going to cost your family or cost you, or is it going to be something that's going to benefit you? And then not knowing what you don't know, right?
Right, exactly. I had a fun conversation, which just reminds me, I'm going to say a fun conversation during last week with a new friend. My wife and I were with a few people who we didn't know. We got to know them really well during last week. But one guy we started talking about, everybody tells kind of what they do. I talk about, you know, being a financial advisor. And we go on and on and on and on. And then he talked about buying lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how the conversation kind of wound around exactly, but I said, you know, by the way, as a financial advisor, you know, lottery tickets are the craziest thing you could ever do, right? But he said, yeah, but it sort of might happen, right? And they might anyway from this whole long path. And I said, yeah, yeah, you can get hit by lightning a dozen times before you'll win the lottery. And so it was very funny the way the whole thing came out. And it reminds me of, he's a very nice guy, very smart. And his wife is also very smart too. It kind of reminded me of talking to a four-year-old, you know, where you can't rationalize with an irrational person, right? And that's sort of what I was trying to do. And he was going down the irrational route. And I said, okay, well, I said, here's the way it works. Here's the way I sort of talk about this kind of conversation is that, you know, I make suggestions and you make decisions. And you make decisions that honor you and your life and whatever you want to do. And there you go. So that's the way we sort of left it.
And you know, very often it's seeding.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we don't ever underestimate how much seeding an idea or seeding a thought is in there. Mm-hmm. And then as a person, you know, goes down that road and go, you know what? I keep hearing this particular name. Or I keep hearing about this system. There must be a reason why I keep hearing it. You know, maybe I should start paying attention.
Yeah, and go back
to the person that told me about it in the first place, because now I think I'm beginning to get an idea. Money and I, as the correct English way of saying it is that, you know, we have a tumultuous relationship. You know, I know how to spend it. It's always iffy on the making of it.
Why does that happen? That's crazy, right? Why can't it be the other way around?
I know. I mean, but, you know, money is energy and it's exchange of energy.
Yes.
And it just happens to be done in a currency type way. And I think that what happens is that we look at money through the eyes of burden or anxiety, right? We never have enough or, you know, unexpected expenditures come up, or we're always chasing the money. Or, you know, in a lot in society, people are defined by how much money they make and that this is my status. No, that's just what's in your bank account. It's not your status, right? Mm-hmm. And it never should be. It's not who you are. It's just what you've made. But we have this tumultuous relationship with money. And I think very often, the paths are there in order to make it if we're ready to receive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we often talk about in some of the workshops that I do in front of groups, you know, I would start off in this way, not exactly, but more or less, to say, looking at everybody, and says, so when I say the word money, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And you see people grimace, they go, you know, what, right? And you see they've got that other kind of mentality around money, where money is a problem for them, you know.
Or evil.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. One of the stories I even tell in the workshops is, have you heard, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, right? And that's like a thing that goes along. And then I say, okay, talk to my friend who owns an apple orchard.
Yes.
His money literally grows on trees, right?
All perspective, right?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this thing about money being evil, money is just a currency, folks.
Currency, yep.
It's just a currency. It's just an energy exchange. How money is used and in what way defines whether it's good or bad, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we have plenty of people in the world that are using it in the wrong way.
Oh, right.
Wars, manipulation, domination.
Sure.
Extermination, you know, all of that. That is the person that's using the currency in the wrong way. It's the same, as I said, of people chasing money as being their own importance. You should be enriched and abundant within your heart, soul, spirit, and character, right? That will attract the currency rather than defining yourself with that. And I think what we have to look at before we can embrace anything is, what is your relationship with money? Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that's really is down to it, isn't it? What is our relationship with money? And we're in a state of lack. We will always be in lack.
And yeah, and I talk about that in some relationship, you know, kind of a mindset. You know, how do you kind of think about money in that way? And we even say, if would you think in a more specific way, I'll say it's, you know, if you think you're going to be in debt for the rest of your life, you will be. Mm-hmm. And if you think you'll be out of debt and have plenty of money in the future, then you will. I mean, it's really, it's not a, it sounds odd maybe to people who are in that lack mindset. How could this possibly happen? Like even we said earlier, it's really, you put it out to the universe and it happens.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we talked about it when I was on your show about, you know, everything is energy, and everything energy. And energy is measured by numbers. So everything is numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the energy that you put out that what you feed will grow. And if our feeling is, I don't have enough, the universe will give us not enough. Because the universe is going by feelings. It's going, if I feel abundant and enriched, then it will enrich your life in every way. And you'll always have enough. There'll always be money there. But how do we translate what the universe, you know, it's that added story of somebody on a roof waiting for rescue. God's going to rescue me. And along comes a boat, along comes a plane, along comes everything. I'm waiting for God. I think bubble, bubble, bubble goes down. God says, then why didn't you take all the people I sent you, right? It is pay attention. You know, when you know that, okay, I want to manifest money, and then suddenly you meet someone like you, right? And it's like, this is, you know, the manifestation is the, yeah. Here you are, Howard, with a solution. So go, no, I'm waiting for someone else. No. This is what's being put in front of you right now. Pay attention, listen to what he has to say, because this is the solution that's being presented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've often had also the, sort of a different conversation earlier today, actually, you know, about people who think incorrectly, well, maybe correctly, or depending on their experience, right? You know, that financial advisors just take their money and don't do anything with it, right? So there's that stigma maybe of looking at it. And what do you do with that sort of a mindset? And say, well, like, I feel bad that, you know, that happened to you. And it's it shouldn't have. And sometimes stuff happens that you didn't expect, or even, you know, a waitress at a restaurant, a waiter at a restaurant, you know, maybe didn't treat you the best way, but others do. So, I mean,
do you not go back to the restaurant just because of that one experience?
No.
Right. Do you never eat again because I had a bad meal?
Again because of that one. Yeah, exactly. So, like, let's talk about it a little bit and see what goes on. Yeah, so there's all those kinds of things that we sort of have to, I don't want to say overcome is not the right word, but well, maybe more to become to an agreement.
I think it is, you know, we have to overcome the feeling that we're coming to you with, right? Like, well, I've had a bad experience, I've been taken, or the last person did this. Okay, that is your experience that you had with the last person,
right?
Please park that at the door and come in open and willing.
Yeah.
To hear what you have to say. And if you come from a place of, again, that wisdom, that knowingness, and you come from that place of being open, ready to receive, you will feel not just what you're saying, you will feel how you're saying it and whether it is someone you feel you can trust and that can serve you. But you can't come into you and ask for financial help when you're carrying the baggage of what's happened to you before.
Right. Right. And also people are, I don't want to say necessarily shopping around, but you say, you know, they talk to a variety of people in a variety of contexts. So, I mean, here, this is my job, that I help people with their finances. We have a lot of systems in place that make sure things go correct. And, you know, we're not taking money and not giving it back. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of moving parts to kind of what we do. But so there's that. And we have licenses, all kinds of credibility and stuff to do.
Accountability, that's the big one.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff, right, exactly. So now, but somebody comes to us skeptical, okay, I get it, but where do they go to get their validation of what they're looking for? Is their brother-in-law who's been broke for all his life, you know, or some YouTube video where the guy doesn't know what he's talking about, or all kinds of crazy things. So what you do, what you do, you know, and just like I said before, is we make suggestions, they make decisions. I can't be it's not the way I've looked at it. It took me a while to get over this, frankly. This was a head what's it called? Head trash. And head trash on my part to say, like, what did I do wrong when somebody said dough somewhere else? And I took me a while to get over that, to realize that, you know what? It's their life, not mine. I do what I can, and they do what they're going to do.
But it's also, are you both in the same vibe?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing, is you want to be with someone that you resonate with. You're on the same frequency. Mm-hmm. Right. Because then you're truly hearing what that person says. And if it doesn't, then I'm not the person for you. And I wish you well, but you've planted the seeds and they will go looking for that right vibe tribe. Don't take that personally. Right. That's the thing. In any business, you're going to get no's. The biggest industry that knows that is the movie, the actors and the models and the musicians. They've heard no trillions of times before they get a yes. And so never take no personally, because that no just means you're not connecting. But that doesn't mean the information wasn't important or isn't in there, right? Because you want to work with people where you feel each other. Ah, I get you. I feel you. Because when you can say that, you're going to pay attention to what they have to say.
Yeah, exactly. And I was good friends with a sales trainer who worked for IBM for quite a long time. And he used to say, he passed away a while ago, but in any case, he used to say that when you get a no, what a no means is it means you're working, you're doing something.
Well, because it could be a no, right, not right now, or no, I need to mull it over, or that's the thing. One of the things that we need to have in any form of business, and the same, like, you know, your finances, you go to a bank and you get no for that loan, right? That door is closed. That doesn't mean that there isn't an open door over here.
Over here.
And it'd be willing to keep exploring, because there's a yes out there. You've just got to look for it.
That's right. What did we say earlier? That the universe sometimes conspires to make that yes happen for you.
Oh, it does. If we get out of our own way.
Yeah.
You know, as they said, they bring you the people that with the big arrows and the neon sign, come this way. And we go, but I don't know where to go. There's the neon sign.
Right.
And then we get the cosmic 2x4. And, you know, suddenly you're broken. You've lost everything. And now you really have got to pick yourself back up again. And it's like, I should have paid attention. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing is slow down and pay attention, because to understand what you are doing, as you said, there are so many different systems in place, the people at different levels of where they are in their life. And they may only come in at maybe just at one system and grow into another, but it's taking the time. I always say with these podcasts, listen, learn and apply. Mm-hmm. And that goes with any business. Listen to what this person has to say. Learn what they're teaching you. Now, how do you apply it? Mm-hmm. And if they speak to you, you can present all those different levels for them according to where they're at.
Yeah. And the people have to be receptive in that whole way. I mean, all that education is really a two-way street.
Yes.
To get that happen.
Yes. And that's the thing, is that you're there to show them what they can do, but they're the people that have got to do it.
To do it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. We say that we open the door, but they have to step through it.
Exactly. So let's look at some of those systems. You know, somebody's in a financial crunch, or somebody is just like tired of investing in all the wrong places. And of course, you know, what we see so much now is cryptocurrency and so many, you know, platforms out there. I've been caught. Yes. And, you know, a friend talked me into it and crash, you know, fortune, just little drips and drabs. I haven't got big numbers to think, but, you know, it's the next thing. It's going to be the next currency. And maybe one day we will have just no paper anymore. It will be digital currency. But in the meantime, you want to see your dollars kind of buried and rooting and growing. For somebody that comes to you and goes, okay, I am tired of chasing the rabbit and the carrot. What's my next step? What would you advise for them?
So the way we should go about the conversation with new client, potential clients, nobody's a client until they say yes and do what it's supposed to do. But we talk about First of all, it's like going to the doctor, right? So you get a blood test and you do all kinds of, the doctor looks at all the stuff and then says, okay, here's where you're at now. Now, what hurts? Mm-hmm. What do we do? What are we here for in the first place? Mm-hmm. And we kind of do that. So we kind of, we have a whole system of collecting information about a person's financial life. And we drill down into four major areas, you know, of their life. So we talk about life insurance, which is a whole other story altogether about, I won't get into that story right now, but we talk about life insurance, retirement planning, college planning for kids you might have or don't even have yet, mm-hmm. and debt management. And then there's a bunch of spinoffs depending on what's going on with that particular family. So we're looking at it as a holistic mm-hmm. picture. And then we drill down into those four areas. And then from those four things, there may be spinoffs to go other places. But those are the things that comprise most people's financial life. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, now we got your, this is your life, your financial life on a couple of pages. Okay, now, where do you, what thing in your financial life do you want to get kind of under control sooner than later?
So I would assume most of the time people come to you in debt.
It's mostly debts, mostly debts. And then, okay, great. We're going to get that under control. And then where do you see yourself in, depending how old they are, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where do you see yourself going in them? And sometimes they'll say whatever. And then I'll say, okay, where do you really want to be in 5 or 10 years from mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm. And so, because sometimes they'll say in 5 years, you know, I'm going to be broke and be homeless or something, you know, whatever they say. That doesn't happen too often, but
wrong vibe. Exactly. The wrong energy there.
Right. And then we have a plan of what are we going to do now? What are we going to do in 6 months? What are we going to do later? And then we're constantly in that, you know, follow up kind of, making sure they're doing stuff. And so a lot of the things which a newer technology was, it's not that I'm new anymore. We can make things automatic mm-hmm. and right. Rather than say, okay, you write a check to this person every month for $50 and mail it. And you know, that's the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. But now everything is just really automatic. So the more we can set up to be automatic with people, the more likely you know, it can happen.
You know? The thing about the automation is that it's so much easier. I live with a 90-year-old who will not do anything online. And so she has to go to the bank to find out what payments have gone through and this and that. Whereas, you know, I take all the household payments and just run it through. And then I'm seeing there it is, my monthly payment. It's clear. I don't have to go to a bank and collect anything.
Yes, yeah.
Nobody takes checks anymore. You know, right. Not here in Canada anyway. So, you know, you set payments up and I find it easier because then it's, you're looking at the statement and it's all very, very clear instead of having to go to a bank to pick one up. So, there are some great benefits into automation. And you also know X amount every month is going to go out of your bank, out of your paycheck, right? And so therefore, instead of looking at your paycheck as a whole, I've got the whole of this. Oh God, this payment, that payment, that payement. You know, X amount, say you get 1,000 a month, 500 is going to go out. That leaves me 500. What am I going to do with that 500? What am I going to take out of that to invest mm-hmm. that will grow? How much do I need to live on? But look at your money as from all bills paid, what you've got left, not from the other thing. And then you've got to pay the bills. And it, oh God, it feels so heavy, right? So change the way you look at it.
Yeah, we talk about all the time, talk about pay yourself first.
And, yes.
Right? Put money into savings or retirement or whatever the savings is, put that first and then pay all the bills later. And not exactly like real later, but at least next in line. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at how all that stuff actually happens.
Well, consider it a bill.
Yeah.
You know, that investment that you're making is part of your bills, you know, your money going out every month, you know, it's the same approach that we take to nutrition. You know, oh, I can't afford all those extra nutritions or organic food. Well, you just, you know, you look at it as part of your food budget, whatever mm-hmm. nutrition you're buying, it's part of your food budget because it's there to fortify your health, right?
That's right.
So again, it's that shift of thinking. So how much do you have to do for people on getting them to shift their thoughts to actually see the simplicity of it?
One of the one of the best experiences I've had this just the year that we're in, right? So earlier this year, maybe the year before, I had set up a retirement plan for a small company. And there was probably 20 employees or so, and they didn't make a whole lot of money in the first place, the employees, but we set them up for $25 a week, $50 a month, something, you know, something in the scheme of things, relatively small. And they would, you know, moan and groan and said, I don't have 25 extra dollars, you know, every month. And I said, look, after a little bit back and forth, I said, look, let's go with me for now. With two things. First of all, what we'll also do in that whole holistic view of stuff is we look at what people are actually spending every month. And most people don't keep track of all the, so you don't have to keep track right to the penny, clearly, right. But, you know, at least get a clue about what's going on. But in any case, so we try to work on that. But then also, when they say I don't have $25 a week, we'll say, look, let's just go with it. If it really becomes a problem, we'll talk about it, but let's just go with it for now. And they relent and put it, so they do it. And then I go back to them several months later and say, you know, and here's the story. Went back several months later and said, how's that $25 working for you? And they said, hey, you know, it really wasn't that bad, actually. No. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, now we'll make it 50. I don't twist their arm too much, but, you know, they're starting to get it. There was a woman at this company I was talking about where I happened to be at their office for something else. And I said, hey, come on over. Let's see how much money you've got. Frankly, I didn't even know, but I knew there was more than she thought. And so I said, come on over. And she was putting in relatively small amounts. Now, this particular retirement plan, she puts in 3% of her pay, which is a couple of dollars. And then the company matches that 3% automatically. So essentially, she's doubled her money without even doing anything. Right. And we have her in a pretty good investment that tends to grow a little bit. So I said, how much money do you think you have here? And she said, you know, probably $400 or $500 or something, whatever she said. So we go look up and we check it on the screen. It was $900. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh my God, how did this ever happen? You know? I said, well, that's my job, is to make this kind of stuff happen. Right.
You're making the money work for her.
Yeah.
Other than her working, she's working for the money and you're taking X amount of money and making it work for her.
For her, exactly. Yeah. I put it right back in. And I said, good, how's this feel? So, oh, this is amazing. So good. Now, don't keep this a secret. I mean, you got to tell everybody here what happened here, right? Right. So a couple other people came on board, but it's still as beginning investors, their early 20s, their first job, they're not making a whole lot of money in the first place. It's a tough thing to get ahead.
Whether you're a family or, you know, so many single moms and things, and you think, well, you know, that's a meal going out every month, or, know, and it's like, okay, you know, again, look at it as a bill, right? Mm-hmm. It's like your hydro, like your rent, or like your this or that. It's a bill, and then forget you have it. And basically, it's a forced saving that's multiplying while it's saving.
Right. That's right.
As simple as that. For saving, that's multiplying while it's saving.
Yeah.
And then you see that money grow. And, you know, that's really what we want to do, you know, like the orchard. We want to see those trees grow and fortify. We want to see abundant fruit on those trees ready for picking, right? So it's not going to happen unless we're investing in the orchard. And if we're investing in the orchard, more apples are going to grow.
There you go. And that's our job, is to really pick the right orchard for that particular person, how old they are, and all kinds of other stuff that goes into play.
So it doesn't matter whether they're a small player or a big player, or they could start off small, and then as they're making money and becoming more secure, because there's a certain thing about, as you start seeing money's actually working for me, right? You go, well, you know what? I'm going to put money in it because I'm going to see a bigger return. And now they feel more confident about it, but, you know, energy attracts like energy. And if you're feeling confident about the money, right, there's more money going to come to you in other ways in life that you can reinvest back. It's the circle, the cycle of life and the circle of life. And it's like you're putting in and you're getting more abundance out. It's the same with our own energy, folks. When we put out energy and we give and share to others, the return is absolutely exuberant. Mm. So the same principle there, you know, when we're looking at money as energy, that energy is multiplying.
Exactly. Exactly.
So whether it's a little or a lot, right? So, I mean, I'm sure you've got people that have, you know, you've got people that, you know what, I got an investment here. Oh, I, you know, I've got, what do you call it when somebody leaves somebody in a will? I've gone blank for a moment.
The beneficiary?
Beneficiary, you know. Yep. I've got some unexpected money.
Oh, I see.
Right? Yep. So instead of just spending it, which is what we're first thing, we go, oh, I'm going to go and buy this, I'm going to go buy that. How about you take half of that and put it into something and then forget you have it, mm-hmm, and let it grow. And then when you see how much it grows and you go, well, what if I put in a little more and then see how that grows?
Yeah.
So that's the point, isn't it? You keep feeding the orchard and the orchard keeps producing.
That's right. That's right. Even if there's a blight of insects come one year, don't cut down all the trees.
They'll weather the storm.
That's right. That's right. It's exactly right.
You know, if we have a piggy bank, I'm just going to save money in my piggy bank. Forget I have it. You know, people do it with, you know, the toonies or the quarters. It used to be the cents. And then you'd have to get those rolls and roll up the money and take it to the bank to see how much you've got. And go, is that all? You know, I've been saving all year. But yes, you've also been dipping in there for this little expenditure and that little expenditure because it was there. And if it's somewhere out of your reach and you can't dip in, then it has more chance of working for you. Mm-hmm. And this is, would this be money that then people could still pull out if they needed to? Or is this primarily for kind of like retirement or college and things like
that? Well, the intent is for to use in the future, mm-hmm, whatever that future is. And if you take money out, which some of my people do, you know, because they have what a perceived emergency or whatever the story is, right? There's penalties to pay. Not only do you lose the interest that you have earned or the growth portion of it, but on top of that, there's penalties also. So if, you're saving more. Right. The intent is to save more for later, but you're actually taking some money out. So now you have less than even when you started with. You would have been better off to put the money in the piggy bank and use it from their particular case. They're using the retirement account as a savings account.
Right. So it is primarily, I mean, when you say talk about for college, so then people take it out to pay for the college tuition.
Oh, that's okay.
All right, but somebody wants to take it out to buy their first home.
Right.
Right. So but are they going to lose all the interest they've made on that?
That's sort of it. It depends. So those accounts are set up a little differently, but there are some stipulations in some accounts that you can use things for other purposes. It's not across the board. You're losing your money no matter what.
So if it is for retirement, is there a set age on the retirement, or is that retirement? Because the retirement button changes all the time.
Right,
and it depends
exactly
where you are. And some people are forced to retire early for some circumstances. Do they then have to wait for a certain age, or can that be adjusted? Or
if there's disabilities and things, you can sort of take the money out. The magic age in the US, I don't know what it is in Canada, the magic age is 59 and a half. And so
59 and a half.
The politicians had to compromise somewhere, though. That's what they came up with.
Yeah, I think we might be 65. I don't know. And in England, it's gone up to 70 now.
So there's that's the sort of the personal money is the 59 and a half. In a social security year, kicks in for most people in their mid 60s, depending on how old they are.
Right.
So there's different stages where you go.
So primarily what you're looking at this is you're setting up your retirement. You can't rely on the company you're with that says it has a retirement plan, because the company goes bust or a company sells out. And where does your retirement go? Oh. I know that my brother was a professor at a university and paid into retirement. And over 8 years, this particular person was stealing money from it. And when it came to it, he lost that 8 years of retirement money, never got it back. And so when he came to retiring, that was 8 years of his retirement money less, which is quite significant when you're looking at a pension, right?
Sure.
So basically, you're securing your own retirement, whatever you may get your business, you're securing your own retirement. And knowing, because there's so many people in my age, I can't afford to retire.
That's right.
We hear right? I have to keep on working until I drop dead because I don't have a good enough pension that can keep up with the expenditure of life. And so how does it work then? Does it then pay out monthly dividends or do people take it out?
There's kind of lots of options. So we have, the way we call it, sometimes we'll call it a three-legged stool. You know, so Social Security, that's kind of what you're describing with your brother, is a government-sponsored retirement plan. You put money in, your employer puts a little money in, and it grows. And then when you're at whatever age is appropriate for how old you are, then you start getting a monthly amount. Okay, that's one leg. The other leg is company pensions, because that's where you work at a company, you put money in, the company puts money in, however it kind of set up. And then when retirement comes, which is determined by how that was set up in the first place, so it could be almost any age. And then the employee stops working, retires, and then there's generally a lot of options of how to take that money out. Either all at once, a little at a time, for the rest of your life or longer, depending on what's going on. So that's another a leg of the stool is pensions. And then the third leg is really your personal savings. Mm-hmm. So that's with the young girl who I was talking about before. That's her personal savings now. So there's those three pieces you have to put into place. No one leg the stool won't stand on one leg, let alone two legs. It just falls over. So you really need those three legs. Now, the problem is the pension part, where you're guaranteed that income for life based on the employer, almost doesn't exist, at least here in the US. Sometimes mostly labor unions, teachers, firemen, policemen, those kinds of people have that set up, because it was set up a long time ago. And the Social Security system is definitely not enough for people to live on, no matter what. And it's something, but it's generally not enough, like you described. So you really got to have your own money put in there. And if you're not making much money in the first place, or you haven't started, when you're 20, 25, right, you got a lot of time for that to grow. That's the good news. If you start when you're 40 or 45, you don't have a lot of time left. It's like another time. Yeah. So it's a whole mess of complicated. And I'm not sure what goes on and how the systems are set up in the UK or Canada, but I can't imagine it's a whole lot better.
I mean, I think we might have gone up a dollar or two with inflation, but expenditure is up 30%. And of course, where I live, we're in the highest real estate in the whole country. So pretty well for a pensioner like myself, 80% of my income would go off rent alone.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we're seeing homelessness like crazy right now.
That's right.
And of course, when you're young, you don't think about aging.
No.
Not at all. So, this is something that kind of needs to be taught to our children or our grandchildren. Can a grandparent or a parent set up something like this for their children when they're young, that in their name, put money into it every month?
Sure.
That is set up for their old age, starting them on that path. They can't touch it, that it's there just for their old age, but it's security. Because I know my generation, we're the hippie generation, right? A lot of the baby boomers, we didn't think about. And of course, people like me, which we talked about, making investments in things and then having it all stolen and, being kicked to the curb, things like that happen in life, right? And then having to start all over again in your 60s, and it's a little difficult. Mm-hmm. So, life happens. But can grandparents or parents invest an account for their children if they're young?
There is what happens most often is for college. So that's a kind of a standard thing. Each state has their own kind of setup. So they're both pretty similar, but the idea is the parent, at least here, the parent sets up the say college savings plan for the children, and then the grandparents can contribute to that. So at least you got that part going for you. And then also you can always set up an account on your own, put it in wherever investments you want to do it, but make the child the beneficiary of it.
I
So
see.
when you go, you can then it would transfer. Now, if you go before the children are adults, then it's those parents, whoever the beneficiary is going to be. But that's all with a will, and there's lots of other
Right.
moving parts and stuff. But whatever you want to do, think long and hard about, whatever you want to do, we can sort of make it happen. But the other piece to remember is you got to take care of, just like in the airplane, when the mask comes
Definitely.
down, you got to put it on yourself first. Take care of yourself first, and then take care of others.
Right. Again, retirement thing, nobody thinks about when they're young, and of course, just with the way life has gone, and not everybody, kind of prepares for it, or they've trusted their company, right? And then realize, oh, I didn't get that much. I don't know how I'm going to live on this. Or, that's simple inflation. I mean, everything is up 30% here. That is quite significant.
It
Food,
is.
gas, rent, everything. That is quite detriment for quite a lot of people. So the more and more we encourage, grandparents or parents to invest in the college thing. And if they don't go to college, can it transfer over
Oh,
to a retirement?
absolutely. It can be true. Well, not necessarily retirement. It can get transferred to another person who can go to college. It's the stipulation here is that it has to be used for education. I'll say has to be used for education after high school.
But it
So,
doesn't dictate what that education is. Like, it has to be this university or that
no,
university,
it could be
because we're
any.
seeing post-education now happening in all realms. Somebody wants to go study dress design or something with somebody else. So it doesn't dictate it. And that is a lot of the reason why a lot of people, I've done shows on people who groom people to get into those big schools. And it's not just a question of their grades. It's a lot to do with their character and their personality. And she works with them, from age of grade 7 up to prepare to get into college. So an awful lot of people are looking at that extended, different platforms of further education, because they know even if they could get in, which is Ivy League, even if they could get in, could they afford it? Because post-education is extraordinarily expensive in many areas. So having that fund there for your children, knowing that there is something there that to give them that chance in life, is something that's a great peace of mind for people.
The other piece that happens that I talk about too, and which happens somewhat, is we have, well, when I have this conversation with parents, anyway, not the conversation with grandparents so much, but with parents, is when your child is in 10th or 11th grade and they're talking about college planning, all kind of stuff, right? The first thing is there's no way, make it in a broad way, there's no way a child should not go to after high school education because there's no money. There's money everywhere to do something, right? And here, at least a lot of the community colleges, which is a local 2 year, I don't know if they have those in Canada,
Oh, yeah, there's a
a
lot of, yeah,
and
college.
maybe called something else, but it's a local 2 year college after, after high school. And if the student has a pretty good grades, I'm not sure what the cutoff is exactly, they go for free. So they get those 2 years of college for free, literally, and then transfer to a 4 year school and graduate from. Nobody cares, right? When you're applying anywhere, nobody cares where you started college. They just know where you ended, right?
It's
And
kind of that buffer to kind of get your grades up so you can get into
exactly,
a
and
bigger
get a little
university. Yeah.
more maturity also.
Right.
And I also say that is the so kids could do, I mean, there's a lot of, I have a current client who's got an unusual, it's not that unusual story now that I think about it. But so the child was, you know, didn't have a whole lot of direction, relatively smart, but didn't have a whole lot of direction or didn't know what to do and like where to go to college and all that kind of stuff. And so what they did, not prompting for me at all, but we kind of talk about this, prompting for me is they marched him, both parents, marched him into a military service recruiter office and say, here's where you're going. And the kid sort of, I don't know if he was in, I think he was sort of into it, then he wasn't into it, and then he was in, but this week is his graduation from an Air Force training camp. Mm-hmm. And I applaud them for, you know, having the oomph to yeah. actually make that decision for him instead of just letting him go and do whatever he wanted.
Right.
So yeah. I'm proud of the son for going and for them, the parents, for, you know, making that decision because they knew what was really best for him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I am going to put a little caveat there is that and not everybody is cut out for that.
I agree.
But there are also many other things that aren't military that you can join as an apprentice and get the training absolutely. On a trade school, yep. on many other type of things.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, we used to see apprenticeship was really huge, and then it became all, you know, Ivy League education, apprenticeship kind of went by the wayside, and apprenticeships are coming back now.
Yes.
And so there are other ways. And I think it's I'm a huge advocate for every kid taking a year off from high school for mm-hmm. post-education to kind of know who they are and what they want in life. My own daughter went back to school at 27.
Oh.
She had done a university beforehand, and the budget wasn't there for her to go back, unfortunately. And then at 27, she goes, no, I know what I really want to do now. And then she yeah. went back. And since then, of course, she's had two babies, built a house, and she's had to do it all online. And finally, in March, she will fully graduate. And her job is saying, we're hiring you anyway. And you just get more position and more money when the degree comes in because we see what you are. But I mean, sometimes the, you know, kids have to make their own discovery of what they want out of life.
Sure.
But also when it comes to military, make sure that they have the right mentality or philosophy mm-hmm. around that.
Yeah.
But yes, I think, you know, one of the things that we do see in society today is a lot of kids just flapping in the wind or floating. And they drift from one job to the other and everything feels meaningless and they don't have any connection to anything. And I think this is something that's really important that we help our kids say, yes, we want you to explore. We want you to be adventurous. We want you to try different things in life, but have a certain amount of structure that is security mm-hmm. that's giving you a chance for things to root, mm-hmm. right? Because otherwise they'll carry on flapping.
That's right.
So it's a necessary to have. So you've got the college fund, you've got the retirement fund. You know, is there any other type of fund they can have? You know, if they are wanting to save up for a house or anything like this, is that a category or is that just something that?
I'd say it depends. It depends, I guess. I suppose. Sure, it depends. When we say saving or investing, it depends how. What's the purpose of this money?
Right.
Right. So, and then depending on what the purpose is. Is where we would put it to have it grow or not grow. We just want it stable. We just don't want it to go down.
Right.
Well, there's a whole other, another way to look at it. And so that's, and that really depends on what they're looking for. And then the, you know, how much income there is and cash flow and all those kind of things. But one thing that is really important, well, actually two more things that are really, really important that many people overlook is life insurance.
Yes.
It's like your whole thing. If mm-hmm. if you have two parents, two parents who are paying the bills, you need both parents to pay the mortgage or the rent or whatever the story is, and something happens to one of them,
yeah.
the one left behind is in a big trouble without a backstop of some income to coming from something like life insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and you know we don't pay attention to that until it happens.
That's the problem. That's
yeah,
the
and I don't know. I know that in England they have death duties because I know when my dad died, it like took over half of the estate. It was just ridiculous back then. So I don't know what if there's death duties in America or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the here it's called estate taxes, and the that is you need a lot of money for that to kick in, like millions of dollars for that to kick in. So my mostly my clients don't have that amount of resources to deal with.
So, basically, I mean, let's talk about people that are in debt. How does it help people that are in debt? I get out of debt.
Get out of debt. So the way we have a process called debt stacking, and where we doing the math, we just make a big list. Okay, here's your credit card and car loan and mortgage and all the things you actually owe as a debt, and we make a big list, and we look at the balance. What do you owe if you're going to pay it off today? Right. What's the interest rate you're paying on that? And what is the minimum payment to make? Okay. So that we need those three numbers. Then we put it into our system and it will come out with the most optimal way to pay that list off. So you pay the least amount of interest in the end. And the way it works is if you can picture this, you would put them in mostly in order of balance with the smallest balance first, regardless of the interest rate, for the most part. And the idea is if it's the smallest balance, it will get paid off first because it's the smallest amount you owe, right? And if you can put a little extra on there, fine. And then pay the minimums on all the other ones. So now when the first one is paid off, and our system will give you the dates of all these kind of things. And once that first one is paid off, now you got a little extra money there. So add that as an additional payment to the next one in the list. And now that's starting to be accelerated with additional payments. So if you follow one to the next and the next and the next and the next, you can be paid off significantly sooner than you would have if it was just not just paid the minimum amount on all of them, but even if it was just random, I got a little extra, let's do $10 a year, $20 a year, that sort of thing. And it's amazing what people can come up with. And especially, I mean, we see people in their 20s and early 30s who have huge amounts of debts. Just because they didn't know what to do, then nobody ever taught them what to do in the first place.
And your interest rates are, like here in Canada or in North America, up and down, and we want to keep inflation down, so we're going to put the interest rates out, and then suddenly people's mortgages are higher, this is higher,
Oh,
that's higher. And so it's like, how am I going to manage that? And so having something that's kind of consistent and secure is really, really important.
and a plan. You know what you're going to do and what you're going to, who you're going to pay, and how much each month, and just
And
follow the
again,
plan.
you make X amount of money, and this amount of money is going to go out
There you
every
go.
month. Forget about it. You're right. It's taken care of, and now you've got this amount of money for your life expenditure, your food, your gas, your life, right? And that's what all you have to work with. And then you stay within that parameter, but you know that all of
Exactly.
that is being taken care of.
And what
So
makes it?
can people do debt management and retirement at the same time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes it's a hard a mindset thing, but you certainly can. The other piece is once you follow the debt plan and pay things off sooner, it will give you the date when you'll be debt free. And now you've got,
A
whoa, we got
goal.
a couple thousand dollars a month left over. Where's that going to go? That's the retirement account.
So, I mean, that's the thing, we don't gain, money takes on a life of its own because we've given it that. And instead of looking at it as an energy that wants to work for us, we kind of become slaves to it
Yeah,
one
for
way or
sure.
the other. So having this money work for you, which is what your company does, it has it work for you, whether it's debt, whether it's retirement, whether it's college, it's there to take care of business so that you can take care of life.
There you go. That's right. Exactly right.
And now, is this only in the States or is this everywhere?
In Canada too, actually. Our company is in Canada also.
So just North America. And you can work with people in the States and Canada or just in the States?
The way our company is structured, we're pretty much limited to the US. But if we know someone in Canada, we can sort of make it happen. But it's a bit of a difference there. So I pretty much stick to US people. I think we're also in like Guam and Puerto Rico or some other places too. Yeah, but
All
I don't
North
know anybody
America.
in Guam yet, so I'll see.
So the thing is, 2024 is literally around the corner, and everybody's overspent during Christmas. Everybody's looking at, God, things are just going to continue to go up. They're not going to go
Right.
back. They're not going to go back. How can my money mindset be this 2024 where the money is working for me and that I am rooting and seeding, those roots for the future that I can get out of debt or I can put the kids through college. And you don't have to be married and have kids. You can start that college fund,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
And or the retirement one, most certainly, because if you the earlier you start it, the more money there is there to retire later in life.
Sure.
And just look at it as part of your expenditure, right? This is just part of the bills that are going out. And then forget about it, right? That's the thing. It's X amount of cost every month for bills going out. And if you don't look at it as I'm paying this for that, oh God, should I pay that in this month? No, it's part of a bill. It's part of your electricity. It's part of your
That's right.
energy
That's
that's
right.
fueling your future. And then what you've got is that peace of mind. Why do we take insurance out? Life insurance, car insurance, health insurance. It is to be there in time of need. So retirement insurance, right, is something we don't think about, but if the earlier we think about it, the better it's going to be for us, because I can promise you folks, I'm 69, no preparation for retirement at all. I invested in a technology that got stolen, so it left me bankrupt. And starting again or trying to live off the government pension sucks. I don't want anybody in my position. So the earlier you can start, please start securing for your old age. We're living longer than ever before. And we do not put us out to pasture because there's plenty more that we're here to do, but we need to be able to have the money in order to do it.
That's for
So let
sure.
the money work for you so that you can keep on doing what you're here to do. So
There you
that's the
go.
importance. So somebody wants to reach out and go, okay, I really don't know what I want or where I want to start, but I am intrigued and I want to start somewhere. How do they reach you and how do they start the conversation?
So, how would you put your my phone number and email and website in?
Your website and all of that will be there, but for the people
You
that are
go.
listening, please tell them.
Oh, so for those listening and have something to write with, right? My phone number is 845-531-9222. Right. And my email is my name, Howard dot Gershman at Gmail.
If you could spell the Gershman,
Oh,
please, for
sure.
people that are listening.
Yep. GERSHMAN.
And of course, they can go to primerica.com/ and then HGERS. Sorry, I'll just do that again. Primerica, which is
Correct.
primerica.com/ HGERSHMAN, and they
Correct.
can then go directly to your site. And
Correct.
you're on the HGERSHMAN on LinkedIn and on livemore.net and on your Facebook. Actually, Facebook is your full name, Howard Gershman.
That's my.
And you've got a YouTube channel as well. You've got a
There you go.
podcast of which I am on, which was delightful to be with you on. So how do people find you and listen to, because you interview people that are out there living extraordinary lives and doing wonderful things. So how do people find you on that?
Yes, so my channel is called Howie's Hometown Heroes, where we feature business owners, entrepreneurs, community members, and extraordinary people like Sarah, who are doing amazing things in the world. And we just want to tell their story so they can get their voice heard in a lot of different places. It's
We
been great
see
fun to
so
do it.
much misery in the world, and I'm all about shifting that energy into the possibilities,
Yeah.
and all that is possible for us. And when we listen to people that they climbed that mountain and they fell down a few times, but they got back up
Yeah.
and kept climbing. This, inspiration begets invitation. That yes, okay, you're going to go through challenges in life. You're going to fall on your backside. It's all about what did you learn to not do or to do and getting back up and moving forward. Just like the wind is constantly moving The water and the current is moving. Our oxygen and our blood and our body is moving. Energy needs to move. So don't give up. Don't give in. Pick yourself up and just redirect. And if you're in financial trouble, or if you just are so overwhelmed with all the interest rates and everything going up, if you're looking at, I don't know how to put money aside for retirement because, you know, like I'm just trying to make ends meet right now, or kids go to college, I won't be able to afford college by the time they get there. All of these questions, that a big balloon of anxiety right now.
Yes, correct.
They can all, that balloon can be popped, right? And once you talk to Howard and you have that conversation, where do I start? What do I need to do? Can I cover all of them? And step by step. And then once you set things in motion, you can sit back and get on with life and get on doing what you're meant to be doing, because the money's working for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us here today and sharing. You know, this is it has come out at Christmas, but it really is definitely one that people need to listen and learn and apply and look at. Yeah, I hadn't thought about the money, or all I know is the anxiety of the money, or I'm too busy making the money. I forgot about the money working for me. And so start the conversation with Howard. Dip your toe in. Maybe it's only seeding initially, but you know, where do you start? And you start with the conversation.
And it's all about education and understanding all the some of the moving parts of how money works. Right. You don't even have to know all of them, just a few.
Yeah.
And then you build on each step until you get where you're going.
It changed your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you were in a rut. You were climbing down the mountain instead of going up. And it put you on a trajectory that became so inspiring. You were so inspired by it, you were invited to do it yourself and make it a difference for other people. There's always a solution, folks. Always a solution. We've just got to be willing to listen, learn, and apply. Because when we do, then we go, oh, that is one burden I can take off my shoulders.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So thanks so much for being with us here today, Howard. To everyone out there, have a wonderful Christmas. If you're listening to this over Christmas, if it's New Year, look at your money situation. What are you going to do about it? Because it's time to make sure that it's working for you so you can get out there and do what you're meant to do. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.